This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host, as always. This week on the show, we have a first-time guest, AJ, the CEO and acting CTO of Daylight. It's a native CRM application for the Mac. AJ, welcome to Apple at Work.
Great to be here.
Start the discussion. Just can you give us the quick high level of, like, you know, what led you to want to make a native app CRM for macOS?
So that's a really good question. And why is it still native? That's even a better question. And so when we started Market Circle, we were like a different company doing different things. And, you know, we had to pivot and all this kinds of stuff. And this was back like in, you know, 1999, 2000, 2001. And I was trying to do sales and build a business and so forth. And there was no native, you know, macOS 10 or what would be become macOS 10 CRM or productivity kind of business productivity kind of tool. And so me being naive said, well, how hard could that be, right? And so we started building Daylight as more of a showcase of technology, though, what we could do, because we were doing consulting at the time. And eventually it led to people wanting to buy the product. And we made it into a, you know, on a product that you could download and run on your Mac. And it evolved from there to your Mac and on a network. So we had a server and, you know, you could connect multiple users on a network, and then evolve from there to where we are now, which is a software as a service. And the big decision that we had to kind of make was, do we stay native or do we build a web app with a cloud backend? And what we decided to do was have the cloud backend, but have a native application that synchronizes in the background. And the logic there was, there's twofold logic. One is there's compute on the local device. Why waste that? That's the nerdy kind of reasoning. The other one is, you know, when we had to make that decision, web apps weren't that great, right? So in terms of UX, in terms of you know, just the user experience and so like the experience of owning a Mac and owning an application that behaves like a Mac, to me, that was more valuable than a web app. Now, that's more idealistic, right? And that's why we still produce a native application. I mean, we have all kinds of cloud backend capabilities that open the door for many, many things for us. So that's, you know, the motivation really was, and you know, we started on the on macOS 10. I came originally from the Next space, right? So went from Next to what was Rhapsody at the time, I believe, right? So it became macOS 10, and so that was my evolution. And I still prefer native apps to web apps. I mean, web apps are, I don't know, they're good. They're getting better, but they're not native apps.
You know, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with really what, you know, a CRM tool is, it's really the operating system for your business, particularly on the sales side. Again, knowing where you had the health of your business. And I think the company that comes to mind when we talk about this is the Omni Group, and they've kind of had the same model. It's, hey, we're going to make really great native applications on macOS, on iOS, but we're going to have great backend syncing. And it's fine to have a subscription component here? Because I think too, the idea, I know a lot of people kind of skew like, oh, I'm tired of paying for things monthly. It's like, I get that, but you also want the software to get to you better. I mean, software,
absolutely, yeah.
No software is standalone. And this is going to be a very, very dumb analogy, but there's a, I frequently will rip audiobooks into like my own format. And I have mm-hmm. an app on the Mac that I paid like $10 for like 4 years ago that mm-hmm. still works. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm kind of annoyed that it still works because I want to buy a new version because I want new features. There are things I want the app to do, but in some ways the developer has got to figure out a business model that incentivizes, like when I pay a subscription, even if it's $10 a year, which is just such a trivial amount. If mm-hmm. I pay $10 a year, I am incentivizing the developer to look for ways to enhance the application so I keep paying the $10 a year. If if Daylight is hey, you buy it one time, even if it's like $5,000, not that your team wouldn't want to continue to innovate on it to make new sales, but the incentive, especially for a business application, like you want there to be kind of continual enhancements, continual, what's new. And I think that's, from an end user perspective, it really creates the best environment because you bring what's great about native apps with the cloud backend. Your company's handling the data backups and all that, but the end user gets a really incredible interface. And I wish more people did this. I think it's harder. It's more expensive. It requires a different kind of developer. But I think it's a win for the users.
It is a win for the users, but let's go back to the economics of it, of the subscription and so forth, right? Like when you think about it, when you're cloud backed, in our case, we have customers, we target customers 1 to 100 in size, but our bell curve or the bulk of our customers are 1 to 20. We have some customers that are like 150, 160, right? We have all that data on our servers, right? That we got to back up. We got to make sure that they're available and so forth. So we manage terabytes of information for our customers. And, something's got to keep that running. So you don't have to worry about backups. You don't have to worry. I remember you said how, CRMs are kind of like the operating system of your business. And it's true. And if you lose that data, it's bad, right? So we have to put in all kinds of work to make that infrastructure work. And then on top of that, we got to put in all kinds of work to just keep up with the changes that Apple keeps making underneath our feet in terms of the native applications, right? So there is, you're absolutely correct. It's actually more expensive to do this. But the subscription, it's about all this back-end stuff that you don't think about anymore. Right, you don't think about backups like back in the day when we had the local kind of server. You had to worry about the hardware. You had to worry about the backups. If the hardware failed, you're out of business for God knows how many days until everything is on the new device. Or if you had redundant servers, or those kinds of things. That's a heavy lift, and we take care of all of that. And there has to be some monetization of that. And that's where the subscription comes in.
One thing you said that I think is coming to be more at the forefront is that local compute. And when mm-hmm. you start thinking about, that's like the whole, everybody's going to think of as like the open claw discussion. Mm-hmm. We can do a whole discussion on that. But like, there is a lot of local compute that's really sitting there idle on macOS. And yeah. as you all look to deploy LLM AI workloads across the application, you're not having to say, okay, how do we make the economics of this work? Like on our infrastructure, you can push down a lot of that local compute onto the end user who's sitting there with a massive untapped, amount of power on basically any Mac built in the last 4 years.
Yeah, in 4 or 5 years, it's even the tail end Intels were good. So speaking of that, leveraging local models, one of the features that we're currently working on, I don't know if we've added mail in Daylight, and now what we are doing, and we'll release this in the next couple of weeks, is we're using foundation models to when an email comes in, we'll scan the email locally, so there's no privacy issues, and we'll suggest tasks that need to be created from that email and link to that email in Daylight, right? So that's That's like using local compute to, and you know, we don't have to then do that on the server. Never mind the latency of that, but we do that. We do that. We're doing that locally.
Yeah, that's well. I don't think that anybody thought when Apple, especially Apple Silicon, that you would be here with like, oh, we want this untapped compute locally, because when Apple Silicon first came out, nobody was thinking about this. And it's almost like, you know, I saw a meme and it was like, Apple's the only major tech company that hasn't just gone crazy with CapEx in the last couple of years. And then they're sitting here like, actually, they may be in the best spot of any of these companies. With they've spent minimal money. Then they, you know, if this goes to where, if it ends up with like the open cloud model of having this compute locally is the trend, well, they sit here looking pretty. They didn't do anything. And they've got all this, they basically, you know, every Mac user built out their entire open compute, you know, interface.
Yeah. And you know, that's exactly the, you know, remember when I was saying about local compute and my thought process was, well, there's all this thing here. Why would I want to render it on a server and bring it back or in JavaScript in the browser? But like, I mean, like I should just use what is available. Right. And that turns out to be like a pretty good, you know, a pretty good thing right now, especially because the token prices, you know, that's just crazy. It's still all subsidized, of course, when you're using all these cloud-based LLMs. But we have local compute. We have neural networks on our chips. And, you know, like you said, the last 4 years, all the Macs in the last 4 years have lots of capacity.
Now, one of the benefits, too, again, of being a cloud fact, and I think that I've actually never heard of that term directly. Like I've always thought that's a pretty good term, actually. I know it's simple, but like a cloud backed application is you have obviously really great interfaces on more Apple devices than just the Mac. What you know, is that you know, how what kind of applications are you seeing your customer uses? Is this where they're on the road? They're managing their customer contacts on their phone. It's obviously syncing right to their Mac. Is that kind of the use case, or is primarily your customer's use case? Hey, I'm mainly working on the Mac the majority of my day.
So there are two prevalent use cases. One of them is, you know, quote unquote operations of the business, right? And that happens typically on the Mac, not on the road. But there is a component of, you know, I'm the CEO, I'm going to see customers, I'm in sales, et cetera, right? So that components happens on a phone or an iPad. And for us, the phone, you know, daylight for iPhone or iOS or iPad OS is really a companion to the Mac. It doesn't have all the features, whereas, you know, eventually over time we'll add more and more features, but then both on the server side and the Mac, we keep adding more features. So it's kind of hard to keep the two going. But really the use case on the road and on the device is a subset of the overall platform usage. And if you think about it, if you're in operations and you're working 8 hours a day, you don't want to be crouched over a phone or an iPad, right? You want a big screen. You want to be able to work in with decent posture at least, right?
Well, I, on my personal like day-to-day work, that's kind of, I've changed in the past couple of years. I think 10 years ago, I was somewhat obsessed with being productive with mobile. Mm-hmm. And it was so that I think the trend was like, you have to try to fit everything that say your desktop application can do into your mobile ones. But then, and I don't know if this is me personally, obviously you can speak to what your customers are doing. I've kind of gotten to where it's okay to for the phone to be just a small subset of like what a phone might need to be used here, because it creates actually a really poor experience to try to make the phone or even an iPad do more than it really should do. It's like, you know, it's almost like I want my phone to be a small window, but then like I want to get back to when I need to do more detailed, more in-depth work, I really want to be on the Mac. And I think that if you separate those two mindsets of like, the phone doesn't have to be exactly what the Mac is. It doesn't have to be everything. It allows your developers to spend more time on the UX of like, actually, what does a good phone interface for a CRM look like? What do actually people need to do? Because they're not going to spend an hour on this application on their phone. And if we try to build tasks and interfaces for that, it's actually just going to complicate everything. And it's going to make the phone worse while trying to make it do more.
Yeah, so we struggle with this all the time. And there are customers that try to do this. Like, I mean, I get tons of emails from business owners. Like, you know, I'd like to make everything work on an iPad and not have any Macs. And it's difficult to pull that off. And I think the trend, like you're saying, you know, the trend is kind of, you know, the ebb is going back the other way, where people are realizing that it's fine to not have everything on your phone. I mean, there are those fanatics that want that, but it's really like you said, it's really difficult to put all that stuff in that small interface, including the iPad. Even though, you know, you have let's say an iPad Pro, you know, the 13-inch iPad Pro, multitasking is still not quite figured out there. So it's hard to be super productive, other than in you know, single applications like, you know, like a Procreate or one of those kinds of things. It's hard to be productive. Like, I mean, you know, there's obviously there are folks that have made it work, but I find it for the average individual, they appreciate the differences.
Well, it allows the devices to be focused on what their unique strengths are. And I can remember me being frustrated, you know, 10, 12 years ago, like, oh, I should not have to get on my Mac to do this. Like, no, I mean, like, let every device, it's sort of like wanting your screwdriver to have the same functionality as your drill. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, you actually, at that point, your drill becomes worse because you're having the drill then has to be whittled down into the task of a screwdriver. And the better thing is to just let everything be what it's focused on being. I love the trend of cloud backed. I love the trend of we're going to be native everywhere. And again, I know it's just nice. It's still refreshing in 2026 to see companies still saying, look, we know that native is harder. We know that native is more expensive for us, but we feel like it's a better experience for the end user. And it actually makes the Mac be the Mac. I mean, I struggle sometimes with, like, you know, if you look at organizations, if, like, you know, if a company is just using Salesforce, Gmail, mm-hmm. And a couple other native web tools, you really have to ask the question, why aren't we deploying Macs at all? Why not just get Chromebooks? Because if you're just spending all your time on the web browser, it's actually easier, you're less expensive to deploy just Chromebooks. But I still prefer native apps. And I think, you know, maybe we're a dying breed, maybe we're not. Part of me hopes we're going to have as local compute becomes more important, if it becomes more important, native will be the hot thing again.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the whole, you know, everything's in a browser and everything, why don't we deploy Chromebooks? There are companies that do exactly that. And, you know, to me, it's a soulless experience. I don't enjoy it. And so I still, you know, we were saying at the beginning of the show here that I prefer native apps, and so do you, right? And I think more and more people are appreciating it. Now, we have to do the work to make sure that the native app, you know, provides those tangible benefits, right? So when you think about it, if, for example, performance is poorer, then, you know, web app is better, right? If we're doing the wrong kind of UX altogether, then maybe a simple web app is better, right? So you do have to put in the work to make sure that the native app remains superior to the web experience.
AJ, I think that's a great place to leave it, and I hope this motivates developers to really consider what a native experience is. I think it's, you're sitting on a gold mine of potential compute and unlocking a lot for your customers. So again, we'll have links to learn about more about Daylight in the show notes. Again, it's a way to power your business on the go-to-market side, way to really manage your business. Great interfaces backed by the cloud, synced everywhere. It continually gets better. So AJ, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Again, check the show notes for more information about Daylight, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thank you.